Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Parent speech with cookies and dog poop. Did you hear what I said? Actually, I didn't actually say that. It's Trump's speech last night. A psychotically incoherent speech with cookies and dog poop. That was according to Van Jones on CNN. So apparently Van didn't like the speech much. Well past an hour, Donald Trump's State of the Union address last night to an almost packed joint session of Congress and all kinds of special guests and stuff. And so I was out on a daddy-daughter date last night, did not watch it live. I watched it for several hours this morning and had all kinds of notes. I always have the transcript in front of me when I go through one of these big presidential speeches. And I want to hear from you today, but only if you actually watched it. If you only read an article about it or saw people posting on Facebook or you read a tweet about it, you don't get to call in and express that opinion. I would love for you, if you actually watched it yourself, or perhaps you listened on radio, your old school, which would be cool, if you want to call in and share your reactions and plus, minus what you liked, what you didn't like. And if you said, you know, that was an awesome speech, I will ask the follow-up question. Was there anything in President Trump's speech that you didn't like? I will come at this today. As an uber conservative, right, so far to the right, I'm about to fall off the flat earth. There's one part of it. And I'll also come at it as a born-again Christian. That's my primary role, my primary responsibility on the radio and of course, with my friends on Facebook Live, but on the radio is as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ with a pretty strong biblical worldview. I always filter everything through that. And so I'll come at it that way. But I'll also come at it as somebody that teaches high school age homeschoolers and have for the last 7 years, the Constitution and civics in general. And there were some things in the speech where I'm like, oh, God, no, federalism, small federal government, expansive and independent state governments. But I want to hear from you. If you watched the speech, what'd you think? What'd you like? What'd you didn't like? What'd you think of the Democrats' reaction? Which, by the way, if you're wearing white today, feel free to stay seated the entire time during the show. That's fine, because that's basically what happened last night on the Democrat side. Nancy Pelosi clapped, believe it or not, more than just about all of her compadres on the left. I think she knew she had to do that to a certain extent because she's in the shot virtually the whole time, standing right over Donald Trump's left shoulder, the right side of the screen from our perspective. A lot of people have been wondering, what in the world was she reading? It wasn't the newspaper. If you watch when the president, this president or any president, comes in, he has two copies of his speech in those fancy little blue folders. One he hands to the vice president, one he hands to the Speaker of the House. So she just pulled the speech out in loose leaf form. And that's what she had in front of her, was a transcript of the president's speech, because you would see her switching pages occasionally. She was just following along, which is the way I watch the State of the Union address. I print off the speech ahead of time, which you can do within a couple hours. You can print the whole thing off. And then I have it in front of me and I highlight and write notes as I go through it, which I did this morning. So if you want to call in and share your thoughts, plus, minus, overall grade, what would you give it on a scale from 1 to 10? What would you give the speech? But again, one caveat, please only call in if you actually watched it or listened to it. Or I'll let you, if you read the transcript, that satisfies me as well. But I would love to hear your reaction to it. So give us a call. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. If you watched the president's speech last night or read it or listened to it, please give us a call. I just want to know what you think. What kind of grade would you give it? Scale to 1 to 10. Pluses and minuses. What did you like the most? And what did you appreciate the most? I would love to hear from you today during the show. 866-348-7884 and 866-34-TRUTH. Here's some interesting polling numbers. And I bring this up first because I think, personally, that was the best speech I've ever seen Donald Trump give. He's kind of a slow speech giver when he's using a teleprompter. But there are some moments there that I thought were very genuine, and I thought his points were great. You know, these things are gone over with a fine-tooth comb in terms of delivery and overall content. And again, it's a speech. I would call it his first speech of the 2020 election process and season. And he opened with what I think is his best speech ever. So let's go to a couple of polling locations that you would not expect to go in his direction. Number one would be what? What network's poll would you expect to be the most negative in terms of Donald Trump? What would it be? That's right, CNN. Okay. So CNN's poll, 76% of those polled gave it a positive rating. And they were polling people on both sides of the aisle. Okay, so one liberal outlet online said, "Oh, these polls are all messed up because only Republicans were watching." No, trust me, that is not true. And would any liberal media outlet only show a poll, the poll results of a poll that only included Republicans? No way. Not if it's going to be positive for a Republican. The only way they would show that is if they were trying to embarrass him somehow. But no, these were regular kind of cross-section of the people that watch CNN and reported, got to give them some credit, 76% positive ratings. Look at the CBS poll, another place you wouldn't expect to be overwhelmingly positive. And their numbers are really interesting. At the CBS poll, 76% of the respondents approved. And of those respondents, here's the breakdown. Republicans, 97% of Republicans approved. Democrats, 30%. 30% of the Democrats that CBS polled that watched President Trump's State of the Union last night said it was a positive. 30% of Democrats. Here's the big one, and this is a big deal, and I guarantee the Democrats, and especially those that have announced so far to run against him in 2020, this is a big deal. 82% of independents polled that watched it gave it a positive rating. That's on the CBS poll. And on his immigration plan, which he hardly mentioned the wall or an obstruction, that was one sentence. Okay, talked a lot about immigration stats and some other things, which I think he handled well because he framed it in a much more moral, immoral context, which was smart. But on the CBS poll, 72% of the people they polled approved of the immigration plan. So that way, I think he masterfully played the opportunity last night to reach across the aisle, which is the way he started. But knowing, I assume that Donald Trump knows that bipartisanship pretty much is dead unless he's going to sign a bill that they like the criminal justice reform bill he signed recently. But on most of this stuff, his laundry list, everything he went over last night, you think there's going to be a lot of bipartisanship in Congress? Of course not. He wasn't talking to them for the most part. He was talking to voters. This is Steve Noble. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the State of the Union address last night, President Trump. Personally, I thought it the best speech he's ever given, and I was very impressed. I've got pages and pages. I got the whole transcript when I went through it today, and I have all kinds of notes, but I would love to hear from you. What did you think about it? Was it a home run? Did it fall flat for you? Was it kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that? You liked some parts, you didn't like others. What was your general impression of the State of the Union address last night? Please give us a call. I'd love to get your opinion on the air with me today. I've got a lot of notes and things to go through, but I would gladly give you the time if you want to call in and share your impression. And I would love to hear from that. Most people are responding positively and on Facebook and everything, but that's not necessarily true. I've got mostly positive, a couple negatives, and I'll get to that. But I would love to hear from you today on the show. 866-348-7884 is our number. I can hear my dad shouting at me somewhere from heaven saying, "Slow down, Steve." 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH to call in and share your thoughts. Excuse me, on the President's State of the Union address last night. TJ Rendell, a buddy of mine from high school, up in the frozen tundras of Chicago. This is hilarious. Things Democrat women colleagues wouldn't clap for: America, freedom, free enterprise, law enforcement heroes, record low unemployment for women and minorities, the right for babies to live. Things they did clap for: themselves. Did you notice that moment? Boy, they got all juiced. Finally, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, came unglued after Trump was talking about a record number of women in Congress, and then she's high-fiving. She's giving high fives. Did not clap, though. Maybe it's insensitive or there's some kind of intersectionality going on there, or I don't know. But she didn't clap, not one time. I was watching her like a hawk. Not one time did she clap. And all the women in white, that was to celebrate women's suffrage, which is the right to vote. But the only time they really got juiced up, all these other great things. I mean, I think most Americans on the street get outside of that crazy building would say, record low unemployment for Asians and Hispanics and African Americans, and record numbers of women and most of the new 58% of the new jobs last month went to women. Yes. Awesome. I don't care who gets the credit. Those are great things. But if you're a woman in white, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her crowd, nope. Sorry. Not going to give you nothing. So that was pretty amazing. Let's go to your calls, talking about last night's State of the Union address by President Trump, which, again, constitutional quiz. How often does the Constitution require the President of the United States to give a report to Congress about the State of the Union in exact terminology from time to time? That's what it actually says in the U.S. Constitution. Let's go to Ray, who's calling in from Durham, North Carolina. Ray, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. What'd you think?
Hey, buddy. Actually, I enjoyed it. Probably in all the history of State of the Union addresses, I stayed awake the whole time, and I watched it from beginning to end, and I actually enjoyed it. I thought he did a good job.
What did you like about it?
It was a bit of a history lesson. I mean, I learned some interesting facts and got to find out about some interesting people that helped form and shape our country.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure about his facts on his numbers. I know I watched a couple of the morning talk shows, and they seem to dispute that a little bit. And I mean, I don't know 100% on my fact checker on that. I didn't. He kept it light. He kept it interesting, and I just felt he, across the board, just reached out to everyone.
Was there a particular, and that mattered to you, that he was kind of being conciliatory and reaching across the aisle and trying to include as many people as possible. That mattered to you. Is that right, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't come across, I mean, a lot of people, they tend to think of him as a domineering, a bully type, and I'm sure he can be headstrong, but he seemed to be somewhat gracious.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he was somewhat boisterous, but at the same time, I mean, overall, he was pretty gracious.
Yeah, that was a very sedate Donald Trump, no question about it. Ray, thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for calling in today and sharing your opinion. I appreciate that. Let's jump over to our buddy Clay, who's right here, almost in my backyard here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Clay, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. What'd you think?
Hey, Brother Steve, God bless you on this wonderful, warm-hearted Wednesday. It's not what I think. It's what needed to be happening and what needed to take place. And, you know, when you have an interesting laid out foundation of wordage that he brought forth last night, there's something to be said for that. I mean, you have shared some stuff about that, you know, what people didn't clap for, what people did clap for, and what the presentation of everything is. Even Brother Jay Sekulow earlier today brought out some of that. And Miss Dana Lesh brought out some stuff. And I find it interesting that you guys, who do a wonderful, wonderful, gracious job, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for that, because when y'all do the job that you do, it brings forth the positiveness. And that's what happened as well last night when he was speaking. And the fact that he has people praying for him,
yep,
doing what he's doing, and when you have that happen, it makes the situation a little more humble. And I found it to be very nice and very warming. And I feel positive about it. How can you not give thanks to the Lord for something like that when you're like going across the board and laying, okay, here we need to do that. We're talking about this. We're talking about that. You're talking about abortion, talking about that. And it's just snippets of little things that needed to be brought forth.
Yeah,
how can any person in their right mind not be happy and content with that?
Yeah, and that's a great point, Clay. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. Always great to hear your voice, brother. God bless you. And anybody in their right mind? Well, there you go. You have to be in your right mind. Now, that's why the polling outside of the building, CBS poll 76% approved, which included 30% of Democrats and 82% of independents. And CNN, with their poll, 76% positive rating on the guy's speech. And that's because they polled people outside of that building. When you get to talk to people inside the building, those in their right mind, well, there's not a whole lot of them there. And that's why it's all goofy when he's bringing up things that they should be clapping for, when the only thing they actually clap for, especially the women in white, was themselves. Let's go to Mackenzie calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina, on our Truth Radio affiliate. Oh, we lost Mackenzie. Let's go to Glenn, who's calling in from Raleigh. Glenn, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
And, you're welcome.
Appreciate your show. My thoughts, it was a very unusual speech for a president, but as other callers have said, it's what needed to be said.
How is it unusual? The tone, you mean?
I probably can't state that as well as it should be, but he called out things that I don't think other past presidents would. Iran, Russia.
Yeah. Yep. That's a great point. Glenn, I'm up against a break. But those are great points, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. If you want to join in and get in on the conversation about last night's speech, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. Feel free to wear white. Stay seated for the rest of the show. That's fine. I won't be offended. You'll fit right in with some people that are really kind of messed up in the head. And that was obvious last night as you watched the president's speech, or perhaps watched it this morning, whenever you did. If you haven't watched it, I think you should. And a lot of great history in there. He brought up a lot of things from D-Day and women's suffrage, which was the right to vote, and some fantastic stories surrounding World War II. And an interesting element of real pro, not only pro-Israel, but pro-Jewish people. Significant content in last night's speech about Jewish people, which was really interesting. I don't recall ever seeing that much emphasis put on that before. Of course, we have a couple of new members of Congress and the House, a couple of ladies, uber far on the left, who have very anti-Semitic things that they've said and associations that they have, not just in the past, but currently. And so maybe that was a shot across the bow there. He was talking about socialism, which was Bernie Sanders. That was a classic look when he said that the United States will. Let me just go to that part, because that was really I've got the whole thing here. So that part about socialism. OK. We stand with the Venezuelan people in their noble quest for freedom. And we condemn the brutality of the Maduro regime, whose socialist policies have turned that nation from being the wealthiest in South America into a state of abject poverty and despair. Of course, that's what you get with socialism. Okay, that's the deal. 2 + 2 = 4. Even if you use common core math, you're going to figure that out with socialism. Here in the United States, we are alarmed by new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence, not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free, and we will stay free. Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country. And the look on Bernie Sanders' face was priceless. He's got his hand on his chin, and he's just grimacing. Total fist face. Thinking that's the most disgusting, unloving, immoral statement this scumbag could ever say. That socialism isn't good for America. And then, of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a former hipster and organizer, community organizer, bartender, and taco stand employee. She actually did that. I'm not sounding like some jerk. I'm just telling you that that's her qualifications to get 12,000 votes and get into Congress. But she didn't look happy either, because she is a socialist and a growing number of liberals are willing to come right out and associate themselves with socialism. And so I'm really thankful that President Trump hit that nail right on the head. It would have been great if you could actually see him lock eyes with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders. But the bigger point, I think, is the fact that he had to say it at all. This is the U.S. Congress. This is the House of Representatives in the United States Congress, the United States of America. And he's having to say out loud in the biggest speech of his year that we will not be. America is founded in liberty and independence, not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free and we will stay free. Tonight we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country. The fact that he had to say that at all, it should be shocking to all of us. If you want to call in and chime in about last night's speech, by the way, I got plenty I can talk about, but I would be happy to share the remainder of some time with you here on the radio show. This is the Steve Noble Show. 866-348-7884. If you'd like to call in, share your ups and downs, your positives, negatives, your overall grade for the speech, however you would like to approach that. But what did you think generally about President Trump's speech last night? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. But we should all be terribly alarmed by the fact that a sitting president of the United States has to make a declarative statement to Congress that we will never be a socialist country. Because there's all kinds of people in that chamber that want nothing less than that. Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Kamala Harris, all kinds of Booker, all kinds of people who are, some of them, like the first two I mentioned, right, avowed quote-unquote democratic socialists, which is just kind of a hipster way of saying socialist, and others that would, you know, espouse all those policies while trying to still call it a representative republic, which is a joke. But the fact that he had to say it at all was alarming. It should be alarming to you. On the one hand, where we go, yeah, stick it to him, it's so good he said that. But the fact that he had to say it is very, very troubling, because that's where we're at. By the way, and one of my friends on Facebook Live mentioned this earlier, Joe Manchin. So if you watch it and you're looking on the right, and that's all the Republicans, and you're looking on the left as you look up at President Trump, all the Democrats on the left, if you were wondering who that one dude was, a member of Congress, who would stand up when all the Republicans would stand up, all the Democrats would stay seated. They wouldn't move. They were stiff as a board, especially the women in white. I don't know. I'm being terribly harsh and unloving by calling them all women, when in fact one of them may be a man, even though she looks like a woman and has the genetics of a woman and the plumbing of a woman and the DNA of a woman and the chromosomes of a woman. But maybe she's not. Maybe she's a man. And so I don't mean to be harsh. But there was one guy that would stand up, and that one guy was Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, who stood up just about every time that the Republicans did. Who is a good student of his congressional district, because he knows he's in a very conservative congressional district and he needs to do that. One day I think he'll probably, I would agree with my friend on Facebook, that he would switch parties, and that would be smart. But that was him. That was Joe Manchin. If you wonder what the back of him looked like anyway, that's who he was. Carla on Facebook Live, the Arizona congresswoman, appeared to go against the grain. That would be, I just forgot her name. She wore that crazy outfit and to the Senate the other day, the open bisexual, I can't remember her name. Anyway, yeah, maybe that was her. I'll have to go look that up. I got some more things I want to go through, but let me jump over here to the phones. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on last night's speech, I would be happy to have you be a part of the program. It would be an honor. 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, or 866-34-TRUTH. To join us on the air today. Let's go to Monique, who's calling in from North Carolina. Monique, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. And I will preface this with, I really believe in my heart that a lot of people, which may be stating the obvious to some, but a lot of people are just dead set on just being against him, just for the taking the position of being against him. Same way I do think some did with President Obama. But what I thought about it is, or the things that stood out to me, you were talking about the first time, you know, with the anti-Semitism. He said, holy God. He said that babies were born in the image. I have never heard any type of qualification for God, because people go out of their way to be very universal with it if they acknowledge him at all, and say the holy image of God. You know, people argue about his character, and he said this, and he said that, and he said this. Never have I, or many in people that pay attention, said that the man's of pristine character. But what I do respect about him, and what was illustrated in that message, also slavery, not calling it wrong, ill thought of, he called it evil.
Evil.
And see, these are extreme words that people that have sworn they're Christians stay away from even. I remember John McCain's funeral. He said his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've never heard that in the White House. My point is, he hit a lot of things very directly, and there was nothing obscure about it. And I respect that. And then, you know, as far as this racism stuff, I don't know where anybody ever got that from. I haven't heard everything he said. But, you know, I think the people he recognized, the woman that had been under 35 years in prison, the people that were killed by the illegal immigrant, and even the follow-up with Donna Harris, she was like, we have to have immigrants or what make the country. I didn't hear him say anything about no immigrants. His wife is an immigrant. He's talking about illegal, and I personally just don't see where the gray issues are. So all of that, in a nutshell, he was honest, and right or wrong in different things, I think. He's true to himself, however good or bad that can be at sometimes. And I respect that.
Yeah, great points. Monique, those are great points. Thanks so much for calling in today. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. Let me
rattle on.
Thank you.
No problem. You're welcome. And that line, that specific line, and let us reaffirm a fundamental truth. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God. You say image of God, it's like somebody sneezes, you say, God bless you. Everything's okay. You start talking about Jesus or the one true God. Now you're what? What'd you just say? Wow, that sounds rather exclusive. You must be a hateful Christian, right? But it is. That's a fact. I caught that too when he said it. I was like, whoa, in the holy image of God. Not just the image of God, but the holy image of God. Which racks it up a bunch of notches in terms of you're killing West Virginia, New York, Democrat Party platform, Democrats in general. You're okay with the murder of these unborn children, all made in the holy image of God. And then she was talking about the story of Alice Johnson. She was in jail for 22 years, and he commuted her sentence. She got life in prison, first-time violation, nonviolent drug offender. She became a prison minister. She did all kinds of great stuff. And I think it was one of the Kardashians that brought it to his attention. And then in June, he commuted her sentence. And she was there. That was awesome. They had some great guests, which was wonderful. When we come back, I'm going to get to some of these other big things that are in here. And then Ron from Winston-Salem, I've got you on hold. If you can stand through the break, I'll get to you right after the commercial break. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Some more thoughts on Donald Trump's speech last night, which I thought was his best ever. We'll be right back. All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble talking about last night's State of the Union address. I'm going to get to Ron calling in from Winston-Salem right quick. Still have time if you want to jump in on the conversation, share your thoughts on the president's speech. Plus, minus, positive, negative. Thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever it is. Be happy to share some airtime with you here in the last segment of the show today. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884. As good of a speech as it was, and I think it was his best speech, and I'm such a cynic. It is a speech. I think it was his first campaign speech of the 2020 election. And so that's a big part of what goes on at the State of the Union. Speech doesn't necessarily and actually very rarely turns into policy, and we'll see what happens. But there was one word missing that I think, next to the life issue, is the biggest moral problem we have in America. One big word with a big problem, massive, that's going to most likely destroy the future of our children and their children and their children, that was not mentioned not one time, was the word debt. And that's shame on you, Mr. President, for not cracking that open. As we talk about, like, government's going to spend money on maternity leave. That's Ivanka doing that. And I'm sorry, sir, we're broke. We're borrowing 30 to 40 cents on the dollar. We shouldn't be starting any new programs. Let's go to Ron, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Ron, sorry to put you on hold for so long. Go right ahead.
Yes, Steve. I just like to know, why do you Christians always talk about and try to denigrate social programs? America already is a socialist, partly socialist country. We have something called Social Security. We have something called Medicare.
How is socialist? Hold on a second. Let me answer your question, and let me clarify something.
I had another question.
When today have I said anything about social programs?
No. But what I'm saying is, you were happy and jumping up and down because Trump made a ridiculous statement that America would never be a socialist country. We already have socialist programs.
Oh, I agree that we have some socialist programs, but how are those socialist programs paid for, Ron? Where does that money come from?
That money comes from the working people. Let me ask you a question.
Let me finish, Ron. What is the system by which the working people earn the money that pays for Social Security and all the other socialistic entitlement programs? What is that particular type of system called?
It's a partly capitalist system, partly.
Right. Capitalism and free market is what drives the economy that pays for all that stuff. That's not socialistic, but those programs are. I agree with you there. But keep going.
No, don't give me. You're cutting me off. You're filibustering me. Here's what I want to know. Christians use these programs to the hilt, but somehow you want to harp on socialism. You want to harp on
Ron,
abortion.
I'm a Christian and I don't use any of them. So quit generalizing, please.
No, maybe you're not old enough to get them, but you will take them when you get old enough. You'll take them. You won't turn them down. See, that's what I understand about you Christians. So I'm not a Christian. I'm an Israelite.
That's really obvious. Yeah,
why do you not at all.
Hey Ron, why can't I talk to you just as like two people that live in America? Why do you have to like denigrate me apparently by saying you Christians? Quit generalizing. The population has enough of that garbage already. Quit doing the generalization stuff.
Well, you generalize. It's okay for you to generalize when you talk about you say Democrat instead of Democratic Party. So you're trying to generalize these people when you try to denigrate these people. It's okay because when you do it, all I'm saying is this, sir, is that when you, what's more important to you? Let me ask you a question. What's more important to you? Is life outside the womb more important or life inside the womb more important?
As a Christian, both equally.
So then why are you not for people for health care for all?
Why? Well, because it's unaffordable and that program doesn't work.
I thought you'd say that.
However, Ron, we can argue about the system. But you cannot sit there and argue with me that I don't value people both inside and outside the womb, rich, poor, black, and white.
Age is irrelevant. Your actions speak for you.
Okay, Ron, my actions speak for me. Right.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. Listen, if a person doesn't have health insurance and can't go to the doctor because they have high blood pressure or diabetes, your answer would be let them die.
No, actually, my answer, Ron, would be get down to your local public hospital where you'll never be refused, and they'll take care of you.
And who pays for that then? Well, are you okay with paying for that?
The rest of us do.
So why not offer people the ability to get affordable health care now, so they don't have these untreatable diseases, so they're not on their deathbed when they go there? Why not offer it to them now?
Well, the problem is, Ron, you're not considering the fact that, do you know how much we are in debt right now? Do you know what the national debt is currently?
Do you know the number? I know. What's
the number, Ron?
I don't know the exact number.
Hold on a second. It's $22 trillion. Do you know how much we're over this year? This fiscal year. It's another $1 trillion. Do you know how much money we're borrowing for every dollar? It's 30 to 40 cents on the dollar that we're borrowing. We are broke. Ron, you can have all the money in the world and all the great intentions in the world, but if you're broke, you can't help people. And then you're going to break everybody over a small group who are currently being helped because of the public health system has taken care of them.
Listen, you said Trump didn't even talk about the debt. Why? Why didn't he talk about the debt?
Because he's just as wrong on that as everybody else. That's why they're all afraid to talk about it.
Right. So here's what I'm saying. We have enough. Resources in this country to figure this out. You don't want to figure it out because you don't want to go by what the apostles did. When the apostles, after the death of the Christ of the New Testament, everybody came, they laid things at the apostles.
Ron, if you're not a Christian, why are you appealing to the Bible?
Let me clarify that for you, Ron. Of course you will.
In the book of Acts, where the apostles and the early church are selling their property and giving to others as they have need, who makes the decision to sell the property?
The apostles.
Individual people. Go back and read it. Individual people chose to sell their stuff and help their brothers and sisters. That is volitional. Hold on, Ron. I'm putting you on hold now. That is volitional, and they make the decision to do that. That is not socialism. That is not what you're talking about. You're talking about the government, through taxes, seizing things that we've worked for, through the law, and then they redistribute. That is not what was going on in the book of Acts. That's not volitional. I don't get any credit with the God of the Bible that the federal government does some things to help poor people, because that's not volitional. They're just taking it from me and then redistributing it. That's why when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God will ask me, hey, Steve, what did the government do with your tax money? That's not what he's going to ask me. He's going to say, what did you do personally to help poor people, to help the oppressed, to help the widow, to help the orphan? That's what it's actually talking about. Go ahead. It's your turn.
But Steve, here's the part you're leaving out. When Ananias and Sapphira came up to the apostles, why were they killed? Well, if it was voluntary, they wanted to hold something back. If he wanted to hold something back because he wanted to buy his wife a fur coat or take his wife on a vacation, why were they killed?
They were killed because they lied to the Holy Spirit and they lied to the church. But most likely it was probably pride. They did sell their property volitionally. They sold it and then they chose to lie.
And they were killed. But the apostles, they wanted it all. So what if they wanted to hold something back? So what? So why would they chill? See, that's the part you don't want that.
Well, school me, Ron. Why were they killed? Why did God strike them dead on the spot?
I'm going to tell you why. Because they were told to give everything. They were being forced to bring everything and put it at the feet of the apostles.
Who forced them?
Your Christian religion forced it. The apostles forced it.
Okay, Ron. Hey, Ron. I'm about out of time, and I got some other things to say. Thanks for calling in. You Christians forced me to do it. That's not there either, Ron. Go study and show yourself approved, but you're going to have to bow the knee before Christ before that happens. So if you're not a Christian and you just degenerate or just come against the book, then you can't use the book to argue. Because if you're not a Christian, if you're an atheist, perhaps, Ron, I don't know. But if you are, you don't appeal to that something that has no authority to you. And it was just all over the map. Here's the deal. You have to be willing to slow down. Now, I would go, Ron, send me go to the Facebook page, go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. Go there and send me a note. Because if I feel like I can trust you, I'd go sit down and buy you a coffee and have a conversation with you. Because here's the problem with the culture that we're in now, which is why I don't do a lot of opposition phone call stuff on the air, because that's all it is. We just sit there and throw stuff at each other, and you can't have a normal conversation, and you don't have the tension of a face-to-face encounter, which helps both sides. Because I guarantee you, if I can, I don't know about Ron, but I can tell you from my part, Ron, if you and I sat down in a coffee shop or a restaurant, I would be calm, I would be gentle, and I would listen. On the air, it's almost impossible to do that. And you're throwing so many things at me. And if that were happening in a coffee shop, I'd say, okay, hold on a second, bro. One thing at a time. Just one thing at a time. Let's just pick one thing, and then we'll discuss it. But right there is why I've got two little notes on my computer screen. One says civility, and the other says winsome. And on the air, that is not easy to do. But Ron, I appreciate you calling in. I'm serious. If you live anywhere near Raleigh, North Carolina, I'd be happy to go sit down with you and we'll walk through it. Whatever you want to walk through. So, there you go. I had some other things to say about this speech. I'll come back to that on Friday. Tomorrow, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. Continue to pray for our nation. because it should be obvious that we need it. God willing, I'll talk to you guys real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.